Stoy de Tere Majda Chof Dalet, Cheshvan Topshin Pei Dalet, Rav Chaim Krauss.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. We know Avraham Avinu had 10 Nisyonis. When we get to Pashas Chayasara, another Nisyon. He's about to bury his wife, and it's not easy. Not cheap to find a suitable Mokum Kavura. He's handling with an Ephraim, with a Grib and a Seicha, squeezing every penny he can get. It's a Moedika and Nisayan. Why was it necessary? After Avraham Avinu had 10 Nisayanis, he was Mokum to give it to Shecht his son, the one and only son. What could be greater than that? Why was it necessary? Why did Akshbuch put him through this additional challenge? The answer is, a person could be in a madriga of an arkada, prepared to be moise nefesh, but when it comes to business, it comes to deal erlich, especially with somebody who's not on the same page, somebody who's a shakran, a lamai, and you have to do what's correct and deal erlichly correctly, oy oy oy, this nisayin could be harder than arkada. That's a limud from Parshas Chayasara. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to discuss briefly a few halachas regarding bank accounts. We'll start off with the negiah to Yerusha, and we'll see how much time permits. The halacha is that sons inherit and not daughters, and even among the sons, the b'chor gets a pishanayim, he gets double. That means he's equivalent to two sons. So there are four sons, and the b'chor divide their property into six, and he gets two. No, it's the father's first. We're going to details who qualifies to be a b'chor. That is the first siman. First siman in Chasnachlis, and one of the first siman deals with that. But we will assume we've got a b'chor who qualifies to be a b'chor. But the halacha is he only gets pishnayim in what the parent or the father has, not what he will get. He only gets muchzik and not ro'uyi. So that brings us to a question, how to determine bank accounts. Is bank accounts muchzik or ro'uyi? So as Akdom, I must say that we live in a Malchus Shel Chesed, England, and they've got their own laws. Dina de Malchus Adina. How does Dina de Malchus Adina fit in with Hilchos Yerusha? So the halach is very clear. This is written in the Tshuva Sarajbo and in Tshuva Sarosh, that Dina de Malchus Adina is not negea when it comes to Hilchos Yerusha. Other areas of Torah it is, but no one can come with a taina that Dina de Malchus Adina, and therefore I want to get what I'm entitled to legally, and that overrides halacha. No. Halacha is supreme in many cases, in all cases, and the halacha is that sometimes we fit in within Malchus Adina for certain reasons, but here not. The Rosh discusses a case where in his times it was the minhag, the custom that not only daughters not get, but sons also didn't get. Everything went to the oldest son. And the cheshbon was that he had a gvir who had the whole estate, an empire. It was a fanem. And when he passed away, it was a family, it was a status. So if when he would die, distributed among his 10 sons, each one would get a share, but it wouldn't be of substance to make headlines. So in order to keep the status and the place of society among the family, the meaning was that the older son got all. No daughter, no son got anything. And the question was sent to the Rosh, how do we deal with this? Does the older son get all and the other get nothing? Or no, we distribute according to Pialocha. So the Rosh, in his case, in Rajba, in a similar case, say very clearly, ignore Dina de Malchusa, it's not relevant here. One reason, there are many reasons why. One reason is, Dina de Malchusa is when the Malchus has a hakpoda. They have hakpoda. We don't want you to make your own laws. You know, we've got the laws, and if we've got of damages and repayment or whatever, why don't you stop making your own laws that will wreck the whole system? Whereas Yerusha, an inheritance, if they want, if a person wants to designate all his property to one person rather than another, because someday they've got no objection. So similarly, if you want to go along with the Torah and you want to give all to your sons, Gazante, they've got no objection. That's one reason. And what the halacha is, that's not negotiable. Dina Machos Adina is not kaveya in Hilchas Yerusha. So now, how do we determine a bank account? The halacha is only a muchzik, only in what's muchzik, something their father owes, is considered suitable, eligible for Pishanayim, and not something which he has not got yet. So, what's a bank account? We tend to think as a bank account, money is secure and available for whenever you want, without any fuss, easily accessible. So we would may consider this as a muhzik. However, the Gemara says, as Paskin Shulchan Aruch, that if you lend money, the father lent someone money to someone else, and the father died, then that money, which is due to the pay, that loan is considered Ro'uy. Now, how do we consider a bank account? It's secure, and we even call it deposit. Does that mean it's considered muhzik like a pikodin? Someone look after your item? Or no? Is it considered a loan? So what do the Olam consider? How would the Olam consider judge a bank account? As a deposit, yours? Or is it money that they've borrowed and given back to you?
With interest or without interest?
With interest. You give it to them.
They invested it.
Yeah. And without interest. It's yours. Yeah. The question. And if it is you to come back now, I'll go in your bank and call it. Any on call. Yeah. However.
English saying is safe as a Bank of England.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. I'll come back to that in a minute. So the criteria to determine what's considered a loan or the deposit is whether you get the same item back. When you deposit an item by someone else, you expect the same item back. And if he uses it, it pays you money, it pays you a substitute. No way, he's done an issa. Whereas when you give money to the bank, do you get the same notes back? Do you remember the olden days when there were notes? Yeah, you don't get the same money back. So he owes you money.
Milva Lotsonin.
And this is what do they do with the money? Do they keep your money in a safe in the back of the bank? Of course they don't. They invest it. So there is a discussion about it. And some say, since it's so easy to get the money back, one of the reasons why a milva may not be considered loy is because it's challenging to get back and it may not pay, but something we can get so easily, that's considered a muhzik. However, the consensus is, coming back to what you mentioned earlier, the chidor brings, as someone writes, if you want to boost in the confidence of the banking system of England, then the chidor quotes the one of the Rabbonei Hadoi said that the money in a London bank, the Bank of London, is considered muhzik. So there you are. Then, but the halacha is not so. The halacha, the she'ilei siyavos, and many other general consensus of the poskim is overwhelmingly that a bank account is considered ro'uy and not muhzik, and therefore the b'chor will not get pishanayim in a bank account. No difference. Since you're not getting the same notes back that you deposited, you will avoid using the deposit because it's confusing. You're not getting the same money back that you gave. That's not considered the same, and therefore it's
wrong. Coming back to my point about that,
right. Very good. Yeah. Now, let's get to a second shaila. Joint bank accounts between husband and wife. So, when the husband dies, then the wife carries on controlling and owning that bank account. This poses a problem. Because when the husband dies, who inherits his assets?
The children.
Does the wife get anything? She'll get a ksuba, but not beyond that. So the question now arises, is she entitled to keep ownership, to use that money for her own needs? Can she use it as her own? It's partially hers. How was it hers? Where did that money come from? If she worked, then it also may belong to her husband. Might it be time belong to her husband?
He made him a 50% ownership. He's made her 50%.
Right. Okay. There can be various variations of this case, but let's deal with the part that belongs to the husband. The part belonged to her husband. They were joint holders of this account. And now the question is, will without getting the complications of her chelek, but his chelek, does she have control and ownership of that? Yeah. So l'choy, it's a problem. L'choy belongs to the sons, and they're going to write. And she's going to have to take it. So there's a very, very interesting svara which is mentioned by Reb Shlomo Hyman in the Sefer Siman Ches. Reb Shlomo Hyman. Chedush Reb Shlomo. Mishpocha? Chedush Reb Shlomo. He writes like this. He writes, if you go to the bank and say that the sons want the money, who will they give it to? Legally, they're mechuyev give it to the wife. And if they do give it to the wife, whose assets are they giving? Is it their money or they're taking money from the sons? They're taking from their own money. They owe it to the son. As we discussed earlier, as money in the bank is considered a loan. It's their money and they're giving it to the account holder. It's their money. So they are giving their money to the woman. Are they legally chayiv to give it to the woman? Yes. Or api alocha, who do they have to pay to? The sons. But how can the sons get it? They can send hazmona from all bati dinim in the world. They won't get anywhere. The sons are not going to get it anyway. And the wife is the only person who can get the money. Whose money? The bank's money. So by the wife continuing using the bank account, she's using the bank's money and they're happy to give it to her.
Can you just clarify, why is it called bank's money?
Because just like a loan, the lawyer, but they owe it to the bank, to the sons. Of course they do, and they still owe it. Even if they would give it to the wife, they still owe it. So she's not causing them any halachic loss. They can't get it anyway. And she's taking not their money, she's taking the bank's money. So what's the problem? This is a brilliant Einfall of the Reb Shlomo Hyman. The Reb Chaim Oizer says the same thing. The question is she mechuyev to go to the bank and say, I want to withdraw the money on behalf of the children? Is she mechuyev to do that? Why should she be mechuyev to do that? So Shaila is a Shavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, halacha is, what happens if someone doesn't... either yes or no. But remember, she hasn't been makabla ptos on this money. She's not ptos on their money. Okay, we're trying to avoid that. It is a good question, and it's got very many ramifications, but not in this particular case. Because we're good for control, is something which is zikr, belongs to the children, then she controls it. But remember, we are now considering who does it belong to, who can claim, withdraw that money. Right, so they can't get it.
Okay, it's lost. But
you've
got access to it.
So Charlie comes very similar, you think it's very similar to Hashavas Aveda. What happens if you've got a property, you know someone is entitled to Yerusha and he doesn't know about it, but you know that it's there and he can get it. Have you got a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, to tell the son, to tell the person, that money is yours, get it? The answer is yours. You do. You do have Mitzvah Shavuot Aveda. Pass the time, people will come back to this. The Chiva Shavuot Aveda. So perhaps you've been mechuyev to go to the bank and tell them, give that money, which you think is mine, give it to the sons. But the halach is, it's, I don't want to go into the details of this, this halach she's not mechuyev to. Apia Shavuot Aveda she's not mechuyev to. It's not machayev to do this. Therefore, there is And that is done in many places, that the wife can continue using the bank account. It's considered that she's allowed to use that money because the banks will not give it to the sons, they'll only give it to her, and she may use it.
And she doesn't have to give it to the sons?
She does not have to give it to the sons.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bank are causing the loss, they won't give it to them. The bank won't give it to them.
Yeah, but she's causing a lot.
So it's not causing a loss, not Mukhir Shal Salveta. She's not, the only key to do it, it's not her money, it's the bank's money. Is it Mukhir to tell the your bank, give it to the Yoshim? It's not Mukhir to. She could, but it's not Mukhir to. She's not Mukhir to. In fact, we've discussed this shaila in the context of when the husband dies, whether the wife can keep control of the account. The truth is, it works vice versa as well. What happens if the wife has got money in the bank account, and she dies first, can her husband keep control of that entire bank account? So you ask what am I talking about? What's the shaila?
He inherits.
But, the halacha of Ibn Ezra, just as a b'chayr doesn't get below you, a husband also does not take below you. Something that the wife gets after lo you. If you don't take mukhzik, not lo you. Not something which comes later. If the wife would predecease her father, and then her father, his shver, dies after his wife passed away, then the son-in-law will not get that yusha. Because it wasn't there at the time his wife died. He only gets what his wife owned at the time of her patira. Therefore, just as we mentioned earlier, that a loan is considered not muhzuk, is considered ro'i. Similarly, benegea, a husband, yashning his wife's bank account, we have the same predicament. That the money that the bank owes her is not considered muhzuk, is considered ro'i. Therefore, if the wife would have her own money, and it'd be a joint bank account, if her money would be put into that bank account, then she had ownership of it. So if in order for the husband to take it, he faces exactly the same situation. Where'd she get the money from? Let's say she worked in a way that didn't belong to her husband. Let's say, that's another story, how she gets her own money. But if she did, she got her own money, then whether the husband can use her money is the same as whether the wife could use her husband's money. And if you're using the svar of the Rebbe Shlomo Haiman, use it both ways. In both cases, the banks will only honor their legal commitment, which is to give it to the spouse. And that will work both ways. That's why the wife may keep control of her husband's account, and of the joint account, and the husband may keep control of the wife. But it still doesn't belong to him. All right, okay. Yeah, okay.
He could withdraw the money.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is a good point that. Sorry? Yeah. There are many variations of this, but we're discussing the general... The basics of this halacha. Yeah. Another halacha in bank accounts or in any yusha is legally, in the absence of any will, then sons and daughters get equally. And in order for the sons to take over the whole yusha, then they need to sign. We need the daughters to agree and to sign all the relevant documents. So the question is the daughter mechuyav to sign? Or could you say, you want me to sign? Okay, but give me something for it. And without the daughter's signature, the sister's signature, they won't get anything. Is the sister mechuyav to sign? Why should she be mechuyav to sign? Because that's Shavas Aveda. Api Halacha, the money belongs to the sons, and it's up to her to accommodate this Halacha. It's in her biyado. It's up to her to see it, to allow it to go through. That's the proper chiyuv of Shavas Aveda. Very good. This is also Hashav Zabeda. Hashav Zabeda, we mentioned earlier, if you have a proper, someone is aware of a Yerusha that the Yerush doesn't know, yeah, there's a mitzvah for you to tell him. Yeah, so, okay, so now you've got the way, you're capable of ensuring that Yerush gets it. Chiyuv Hashav Zabeda would be mechayiv you to allow them to access their money. You're not giving them your money, their money. The children are certainly allowed to give to their sister, and it's recommended. The shail is whether the father can give. What's connected to that is for the father. The sugya of Abu Chasanta is to say he wants others to get other than the son of Abu Chasanta. We won't allow it to this. I'm sure there will be a series of shiurim and from the members of our kailah, and more likely that at least one of the members will discuss this shaila. What are the parameters of writing a will and giving it to daughters or other pet beneficiaries other than their sons? Is that problem of Avurach Santa? Yeah, but there are ways of doing it. When does he give it? Is it? Well, it depends on what it is. And even that, from Gemara, is also a problem. Gemara talks about giving an adin to his daughter, and the Gemara says there's a problem of Avurach Santa. So it's a sugya.
This all ignores the halachic will, what we're saying now.
Yeah, no, halachic will is still a problem of Avurach Santa. Halachic will is one question, how can you make effect? But even if it is effective, but lemaisa you've bypassed Yerusha. So this point that we're discussing now is relevant even with halachic will. Okay, Mom, let's pick up the third of that question, right? Oh yes, we're talking about whether the daughter is mukhiv to sign. L'choy she should be mukhiv to sign, as Hashav HaSaveda. L'choy she should be. This is discussed in the Paskim. And another reason to force her to sign, as it were, is because Kofin Amidastoyim. She doesn't sign, and what she's going to do, she's not a ganav, she's not going to take the money, she'll take it in. She's going to prevent them from getting it. It's Kofin Amidastoyim. So sometimes, though, in the Pesukim do mention something, that sometimes there's a bizoyin for her to go to the courts and sign some documents. It wasn't so common for women to appear in public. So it wasn't appropriate for her. That's something I take into account, which is no longer relevant now. Firstly, women go out much more than they used to. And secondly, it's not even necessary to go to court. You could do it in other environments. You could do it. No problem doing it anywhere else. Yeah. The possible to discuss that she's not mechuyav to sign because if she signs documents that she's giving away her assets, people will think, oh, she's in financial trouble. And if she's a businesswoman, then it may affect her. But in most cases, it's not relevant. So it's very hard to justify taking money. However, the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Tes Zayin, Simon Nun Beis, mentioned that there was a custom to give her a certain amount, which was 10% of her share that she would have been zeichet to legally. And one of the reasons given is because there was a great temptation for people, we're talking about a constant and substantial yusha, so sure, I'll go to the courts. There was a temptation to go to the courts. And in order to avoid that, there was a minhag. Hasn't got the status of halacha, there was a minhag to give us something substantial, and that is 10%. So what one does, lemaisa, varies from based in to based in, from place to place, but this is the sugya. The sugya is whether a daughter is mukhiv to sign, and the answer is a pialocha, yes, Hashav HaSaveda and Kofi Lamid Estreim, but lemaisa, there is justification for her to have been paid something. And there was a minhag in certain places to give her 10% of what she would have been zeichet to in legally. Another topic regarding Yerusha Sabbath is what happens if you want to buy a property from a lady, and after investigating, it's apparent that she got it when her parents died, her father died, And that was a share that she was given. And the family were not aware of the halacha that a son Yashan is not a daughter. They gave away this property, and what should they do now? And they gave it to them. Would they know that they're not mechuyev? It could well be that they would never have given it. And even if they would have given it, but they haven't given it. Even if they would and could, but they haven't. So you can't take assumed proper title on that property knowing, would the owner have known that he is, that I'm not entitled to. He may want to give it to me, it's mine, but as things stand today, I've not yet done it. So there's a problem of buying a property from a lady who wants to sell it because she got it as Yerusha, and it's not hers, I pay halacha. So there is a svara to say, there's a svara of yush. Yush. The concept of yush, which we know, once a person gives up hope of something, then he loses ownership of it.
Here there's no yush.
Oh, here, why is there no yush? Oh, so let's say that the lady you're getting from also not, she's not showing material mitzvahs. And if he and the brother send her a letter, come to Beis Din, she'll ignore it. And there's no way of enforcing it. So, since they're not going to be able to force her to come to Beis Din to relinquish title on the property, therefore, they are miyayish.
Although, the
yush pshat
is that I can't get it back.
If they wanted
it, I can't get it back.
So I can't get it back.
Was it wanted in the first place?
That's another concept. You didn't know it was theirs. Assuming there was yush, there's another yush. All right, it's a complex sugga, but you want to zone in on one or two points. So there is a problem here. It's a definite problem. Was a problem. So one svari can mention yish. The problem is that yish doesn't work by karka. It works by matata. Is there yish by karka? Ain't yish by karka. There's a chiddush of the nesivas. Nesivas writes that the reason why does yish not work by karka? Why? Is that possible? The nesivas says that yish only works something which is not under your jurisdiction. If you've lost an item, it's not yours, not in your house, so yish has an effect. If you've got something in your house, you just don't know where it is, then yish may not help, says the nesivah. Not everyone agrees. The nesivah says it may not help. Yish only helps something you've got. So metaltelim, which are lost, you haven't got, yish is chal. But by karka, which you do have, wherever you are, wherever it is, it's yours, it's not considered lost. Therefore, yish will not help. Says the Nesivis, but it is a Gemara in Bar Mitzvah, which says there's a type of property which is called Einoi B'Shusoi. Why do you have property Einoi B'Shusoi? And the Gemara says, if Einoi Yochalei Tzir B'Dayonim, if there's no way you can extract it B'Dayonim, you can't, you've got no proof, or you've got no, what for one reason or another, the Gemara receives various cases, if Api Alochi, you can't prove your case, that's called Eim Yochalitzia B'Dayonim, and you can't extract the money which is yours in Dayonim, therefore it's considered Eini B'Shusoi. Says in the Sibis, if you've got such a case, that even by property, even by Kaki, Yush will be Chal. Now, so this money, this property which the daughter, the sister now has, and she knows where she's going to listen to Din Torah, she's saying, you want to take property away from me, I have to go to the courts. So how are you going to take it out? Therefore, this may be considered in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim. It's a bit of a different in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim. In Yochalitzia B'Dayonim, the Nesivis talks about it, something where you come to basis of whether you prove, and you can't prove it. Here, it's in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim because she's a tough person, she won't come to greet the basin. Once you come to basin, you've got all the documents on front of you, and you'll get it. There's a different in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim, it's in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim because it won't work. So this is a discussion, say, for three Yitzchak, and there are those who consider this also called in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim. Not only where Liwa Pialoch, you can't, but even if it won't happen because of it, the Gava Alma, a very powerful person, or this lady, she won't cooperate with Beis Din, in such a case, it's called in Yochalitzia B'Dayonim. Therefore, Yush would be Chal. That's one mahalach, why he may buy a property from a woman, is because Yush would have. But there are other complications which he mentions. Have a good day.
Amen.
Made him a shvir with the mitzvah of Mila. Mila, the Gemara says, "Doyle Mila."